The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Hello and welcome back. My name is Paul Orlowski, the host here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. God Calling, the name of the show. And today we're going to be speaking to a brand new, newly minted priest, Father Josh Korak, who was ordained with August 1st.
August 1st, yeah.
August 1st.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's it like?
Man, it has been quite a whirlwind. It's been a great first few weeks as a new priest. And I think certainly just getting used to being a priest is probably my first reality. And then also being a priest at the parish that I'm at. It's like I have to do one thing at a time, but it's all kind of happening at once too. So So it's been kind of a lot over the past few weeks, but it's been really, really blessed. Blessings beyond blessings. So it's been great.
I always wondered in the earlier years at the seminary, dressed in civilian clothes, when you put the collar on, becoming a transitional deacon, do people start to treat you differently?
You know, yeah, I think they do. On one sense, certainly my family does not. They make that pretty clear. But they love me still, and they're always very proud of me. But they would say, they would probably still treat me the same. But a lot of people, I think, they certainly have a respect for priests and certainly for deacons as well in their lives, even as a seminarian. I think people really, they treat you a little differently too, because you know they look at you and they see the future of the church, you know, and so they're real motivated by that, and that's always a great thing. I mean, it's almost like every time you're at an event, you're the one that's doing the prayer, or you're the one that's leading something like that. So I guess it's kind of a neat new responsibility each time. So wearing the collar, it's a new responsibility, but I think throughout years of seminary, you kind of get used to, in a sense, being a little bit of a different vocation from everybody else. So
I embarrassed myself that way one time. I was out to dinner with Bishop Pilla.
Oh, okay.
And so the meal came. I picked up my fork, and before we said grace, I said, "Oh, what a dumb thing to do."
Don't worry. I
stepped on myself there. That was not a good thing to do.
That does happen.
Tell me about your calling, Father. How did you come to this decision?
Sure. So, you know, when I was a young kid, so I grew up at Our Lady of Good Counsel Church, which is in Old Brooklyn neighborhood of Cleveland. It's now called Mary Queen of Peace. And at Our Lady of Good Counsel, the parish was run by a religious order called the Missionaries of the Precious Blood, called Precious Blood Priests. And so they were really, really great influences on my vocation. And so as a young kid, I was going to the grade school there. I was in fourth grade. And I remember Father John, and he normally was like fifth grade, you became an altar server. Mm-hmm. Well, he just, I guess he must have seen something in me. And he said, you know, Josh, I'm really wondering if you want to be an altar server this year instead of in fifth grade. And of course, as a fourth grader who has nothing else to do, I thought, well, why not? You know, that'd be
sure.
Cool. So I ended up serving so much. But being an altar server was a great influence for me. Just kind of being in the behind the scenes, if you will, at Mass every Sunday. Real cool blessing. And so that kind of began, it was like a kickstart to a lot of me being involved in church as an altar server. But even I remember singing in the choir and being involved in, you know, school liturgies and stuff like that. There was always something to do, and I was always doing it. And I think a lot of people at the church saw that in me, even my family too, especially. After grade school, I went to public high school. We moved to Olmsted Falls. So I went to Olmsted Falls High School. And I would say my vocation became a little different there. I wasn't as involved in my church. Still went to church, but I wasn't as involved. And it just went in a different direction, I like to think, instead of towards the priesthood. So 3 years after high school, my grandmother passed away. My grandma was the big influence on my vocation. And after she passed away, I just felt a real tugging at my heart that maybe the Lord's calling me to this. And I think she kind of interceded in that way. So I spent a lot of time in prayer thinking about entering the seminary. And then I did, but not for another year after that even. So just spending a lot of time discerning, asking the Lord, is this really what you want for me? Turns out it was.
Yeah.
So thanks be to God for that. You know?
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah, yeah.
You went right to Borromeo?
I did. I went to Borromeo in 2011. So I graduated high school in 08. I spent about 3 years. And then I went in 2011 to Borromeo, graduated from Borromeo and John Carroll in 2015. And then in 2020, this year, I was graduated from St. Mary's and got ordained. So a little bit of a late start, but, you know, that's all right. So, yeah, it's been a real ride, certainly, for sure.
At St. Charles, big school.
Big school, yeah.
How do you get through to the young kids? I mean, I know you just started at it, but, you know, nobody says, there are very few people anymore say to a kid, why don't you become a priest? Why don't you? I heard it all the time as a young man, my grandmother.
Sure, yeah.
But how do you lead them in that direction to at least consider that as a calling?
You know, I go into classrooms a lot, certainly at St. Charles, but even as a seminarian, as an intern, I remember going into classrooms and just giving a lot of vocation talks. One of the things I think I always want to emphasize more than anything is that God calls all of us to become saints. That's our primary vocation. And so if we always keep that at the center, I think that we'll always be able to hear God's voice most clearly if he's trying to help us to get there. So when it comes to being saints, our secondary vocation then becomes, well, is it priesthood? Is it married life? Is it single life? Is it religious life? And so God is going to, once again, call us along the way, help us if we just simply ask the grace of the Holy Spirit to help us. Yeah, it's a big challenge, especially for kids and for them to understand. But I would never want to sort of dumb it down and make it seem like it's not something that's achievable, even at a young age. I can recall moments as a child of hearing God's voice more clearly than others, you know, and I think we would be doing a disservice, certainly, by never inviting them or encouraging them to think that way. So, yeah.
I think there's a disconnect between some, like let's say in high school, your high school years, is there a disconnect between younger people in the church? I was one time talking to Father Ed Estock, who said, you know, the largest group of non-Catholics are non-practicing Catholics.
Oh, sure, sure.
That's a terrible statistic.
Well, it is, yeah. I think it's certainly discouraging, but at the same time, I think that the church isn't disconnected from young people, but a lot of times we seem to think that we are. I think when we sort of try to appeal to children or appeal to younger people, we're, once again, and I don't want to, we're lowering the level of church, if you will. We're making it seem like it's not something that's for everybody. I don't know. The younger people are really attracted, though, to the faith. They love hearing stories about the saints. They just love the devotional life of the church. But I think it just requires us to teach it to them and to teach it to them correctly, you know, rather than saying that going to confession is confessing your sins. Why not try to treat it more like going to confession is encountering God's mercy and his love? You know, who wouldn't want that, you know? So I think it's just sort of rethinking how we teach our faith to young people.
We're going to be back with more to explore some different avenues with Father Josh Korek in just a couple of minutes. This is Paul Orlowski. We're on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We're here on God Calling, Paul Orlowski with you, with Father Josh Korek. Father, as we mentioned, a newly minted priest, which is a blessing to all of us, to the diocese, certainly. I watched your Mass, your first Mass.
Did you? Okay.
Online.
Okay.
And you talked sometimes at some length about prayer. And prayer is hard, and you got to make time for it, and sometimes you might not want to. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think going back to my original vocation story, I remember after my grandmother had passed away, I made a commitment with God. And I remember living in Olmsted Falls, we didn't have a whole ton of, at least not to my knowledge, we didn't have a ton of adoration chapels or places to go pray like 24/7. I mean, churches were open, but they'd close at like 8 o'clock or something like that, you know, where it wouldn't be super convenient. So the closest one, I think, to us was at St. John Bosco in Parma Heights. So I would drive out there. So one night I remember just the whole idea of becoming a priest was just I wasn't able to sleep. it was like I just felt like this was something that the Lord was really pulling at me. So I remember going to St. John Bosco, and I went there one night, and I couldn't get in. It was so late, and the doors were locked. And I'm walking all the way around this chapel, trying to open up every door. And this one guy's like, "No, go around." And he's telling me, he lets me in. He gives me the code even to get in.
Wow. So
whenever I wanted to, I was like, wow. But he talked to me for a little bit about maybe what was going on in my heart at the time. Anyway, I remember going to that chapel that night for the first time and certainly laying everything out with the Lord. And I made a commitment with the Lord that for the next 30 days, I would return. And so whether it was in the beginning of the day, usually it was at the end of the day after a long day at work or something. But I would come and I would spend at least a half hour for 30 days with the Lord. And in those 30 days, I would ask that question, you know, is this something that you're calling me to? And at the end of the 30 days, of course, that was when I decided I'm going to email the seminary or I'm going to talk to them and discern. So that was a unique experience of maybe of prayer that was prolonged, but it was necessary for me as I was just going through that discernment process. Certainly throughout seminary, there's so many times where, you know, obstacles are in the way or you see things and maybe they look like obstacles. They're really not. They're opportunities for God to speak to you. And even, you know, and I know at the end of my first Mass, I was alluding to it, but even these last few months, where the coronavirus hit in the middle of March and we all had to leave the seminary, and then we really didn't know. Even me and my classmate, Father Joe, we didn't really know where we were going in terms of when we were going to be ordained, who was going to ordain us, if it'd be here in Cleveland. We just didn't know anything. So I just remember feeling very much kind of back at that, almost like I did 9 years ago when I was discerning entering the seminary, just like, Lord, what's going on? Is this something that you really desire for me? And I remember, especially towards the very end, turning to our Blessed Mother and asking her for her intercession too. And I found that just giving everything to her just makes it all go so much smoother, so much easier. Those moments of prayer are important and they can't be overlooked. I think that if you ever feel discouraged or despairing, no matter what vocation you're in, if you don't bring that to prayer, I don't know. I just don't know what else you would do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where, obviously we know in the world there are so many other places to go and maybe to turn to, but I just found that for me, prayer has always been where I'm going to find the most peace.
We don't have all the answers, that's for sure.
We don't. No, that's for sure.
Being a new priest, you got an interesting phone call the other day.
I did.
Sometime back, right?
Yeah, It was the day before ordination, my phone rang, and it was an extension from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I thought, oh, geez, who is that? And it was Bishop Malasek. And so I was like, wow. So I picked up the phone and I said, hello. And he said, hey, Deacon Josh, this is Bishop Malasek calling. And I was like, wow, the bishop is calling me. Like, this is pretty neat. So we ended up chatting for a bit, you know, and he was expressing his best wishes for me as I was going to be ordained the next day. And I really found great comfort in just being able to hear from him, you know, and certainly, like I said, kind of in the midst of all that long time period of never knowing where things were going or whatnot, it felt real like a great grace to hear him and just to have a phone call with him, even if it was only for maybe 20 minutes or so. But we connected on a lot of different levels. Just he asked me a lot of questions, really. He asked me, like, what church are you going to be assigned to? And I said, St. Charles in Parma. And he said, oh, I know Parma. I was like, wow.
No kidding.
Yeah. So he had been a seminarian down in Columbus for a while.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it was just kind of interesting to hear him and to hear maybe some of even his own experiences of becoming a priest and when he was in seminary. Those are kind of cool.
Back when he was ordained in September, you were very moved by something. I think
I remember
a quote from his initial remarks.
I remember when he spoke at the installation mass in his homily, he spoke to young people, and I found it to be, I don't think, you know, Pope Francis even says that young people aren't just people below the age of maybe 18 or 21. Young people, or even 30, young people are all of us. I mean, we have a heart. We're yearning for something more. And I just think that when Bishop Malasek spoke in his homily, he said to young people, he said, listen to your heart, the place where God speaks to you. Listen carefully, because he's calling each of you by name. God has a plan for you. You are on this planet for a reason. Do not stop searching until you find God's will for you. He is calling you to a life of holiness, to discipleship, to service, and to do something special for him. Follow Jesus. And I just felt like those words could not have spoken more clearly to young people than any of the other words that he would have said in the homily. But just, it was so beautiful that he kind of called out all of us and said, listen, we all have a purpose. I mean, it doesn't matter whether what age we are, but especially to young people, like, we all have a place in the church. We have a place in this world, and God has given us a special call. So it was a really cool connection there.
I was impressed by something else I heard you say, which was being able to discern exciting gifts, maybe a new iPhone, versus the real gifts that you spoke about in that first Mass. And sometimes they're not right in front of us, so you can't put your hands on it.
Sure.
But they're the real gifts of life.
Sure.
The love of Jesus.
The love of Jesus, absolutely. Those are, you know, there's many, many gifts. Many people will give you a gift, and that's a great thing. But the real gifts, I think, come from the Lord. And that's when that the Lord will always help you in your vocation, help you in your discernment. And so use those gifts wisely. I mean, don't take advantage of them. And the Lord's always calling us to something deeper, something greater.
The kingdom of God is revealed.
Is revealed,
in many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
prayer, the Eucharist.
Yeah, yeah.
Forgiveness.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. The sacraments, certainly. I think, you know, one of the things I'm certainly learning as priesthood kind of continues is just how great the sacraments are and how God is really working through the church when we celebrate the sacraments. You know, the gifts of his mercy and love just cannot be taken for granted. Like I said, I think you have to use those as much as we can.
Yeah. Sounds like a good place to take a break.
All right.
Father Josh Korak with us on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Josh Korak, our guest on God Calling. AM 1260 The Rock is where we are. Cleveland Catholic Radio. Great to be here. Father, thanks for joining us and sharing your blessings. Something that's difficult for me, seeing the good in others. How do you get rid of that judgment that, you know, I've been to a lot of bad things in my career on television.
Yeah.
And you just look and, I don't know. I've been in court when a family of a murder victim will look at the person. Sometimes they react with hatred, and other times they say, you know, I forgive you. I don't know where some people dig down to get that in themselves. Maybe it's through it probably is through faith.
Absolutely. I think, you know, maybe this is just a movement of the spirit. You remind me of a time, I remember maybe a little bit sadly, but I remember on 9/11, mm-hmm. where I was, you know, we all remember kind of like where we were. And I remember on 9/11, I was in sixth grade. So I was, I remember being in Mrs. Smith's class at OLGC. We could tell something was going on. We didn't know exactly what it was. We never watched anything on TV. And I know there was a lot of, some classes had seen everything on TV or whatnot. But I remember our teacher, Mrs. Smith, and she closed the doors to our room, which she never did, but she closed the doors and she said, "All right, I have to tell you all something." And she explained to us that the World Trade Center in New York City was under attack. And we're thinking, oh, my gosh. I remember her saying this very thing. She said, "There are people in the world that make bad decisions." Mm-hmm. She said, "But we are all good people." And, I mean, now, granted, she didn't know anything that was going on. And we didn't either. But even just to not know what's going on and to be in that moment of just, I don't know, anxiety and fear. She was able to remind us, I mean, if anything, she was reminding us, you know, we've all been created in the image and likeness of God. We know that from the book of Genesis. And so, but we all have chosen, unfortunately, to do things that are bad, you know. And so it was just a reminder. And I think that has always stuck with me, even in moments when I, probably like you, I mean, I could be in a situation where I see somebody who's made a really bad decision. And I could easily place a judgment on them if I see, you know, see something on the news, for example. But it's like they've come from somewhere and they started off being in that image of and likeness of God. They've made decisions that have just been worse, you know, I guess, than others. Mm-hmm. But and kind of keep it on that topic of, you know, vocations. It's like we all come from different backgrounds. We all have our own story. But it's always a reminder to us, like, we have to remember we've been made in God's image and we just have to strive for that every day.
It's funny, I was in sixth grade.
Okay.
When Kennedy was assassinated.
Wow, yeah.
Very similar story.
Sure.
Closed the door and
yeah.
Wasn't quite as thought-provoking because we didn't know if he was dead or alive or what it was.
Yeah.
But it was the uncertainty being that age and it's like, what? How could this be?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I just remember thinking, and now in hindsight, like, wow, what words of wisdom, you know, in the midst of, I kind of probably similar, like, we didn't know it was a terrorist attack,
no.
You know, or we didn't know that it was not accidental. It could have been, but it was just like, man. So to have that wisdom was real great. A great benefit, certainly for me.
It's funny, people remember those moments. I was in the newsroom one time, and they were talking about it was the 10th anniversary of the shuttle blowing up.
Okay.
And
okay.
One said, oh, I was in fourth grade, or I was in sixth grade, and I was in college, or whatever it was. And they look at me, and they call me Orlo.
Okay.
They said, Orlo, where were you? I said, well, I was sitting at this desk, same chair.
Yeah. Still there.
Still there.
Yeah.
I don't take myself too seriously, Father. I think you're maybe seeing that.
That's good. That's good.
But the seminary, the priesthood.
Yeah.
Is it all you anticipated? Is it more than you anticipated, better than you anticipated?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I think it certainly has been all that I anticipated and more. You know, and I think in many ways, as I'm still getting used to things especially, but celebrating the sacraments as opposed to, like, so for example, going to confession. I've gone to confession since I was in second grade, but now being the one that is on the other side, a whole nother experience, whole crazy other experience, but one that I love. I've come to a deeper, I think in the beginning, I remember some of my first confessions just being so afraid of hearing a confession. I don't know why. I guess it just, you never know what's going to come in the door.
Yeah.
And somebody says that they want their confession heard. You know, you don't really know why, but sometimes it's just a little intimidating. But now realizing how peaceful of a sacrament it is for so many people, how much peace it brings to them, it's like, I could do this every day. And I do. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, some days it is every day, but it's just, it's a great blessing.
Before I retired, I used to go to the cathedral in the morning.
Okay.
I had to be to work at 8, Mass at 7:15.
Mm-hmm.
So one morning I went down there and I didn't look at who was in the confessional. And he was new in the diocese. It was Bishop Lennon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I remember walking through the door. I thought, boy, I better come up with a B list. I don't want to tell the bishop my A list. I told him the A list.
I got you. Yeah. No, it could be intimidating. Sure.
He was actually a wonderful confessor.
Yeah.
And became a friend of.
I know he did that regularly down at the cathedral.
That's a couple times a week.
A real great testament to him. Really, I mean, always wanting to be a parish priest. You know. And
do you think that the priests today, to me at least, they seem more approachable? You know, we almost cowered in a way. Not that they were mean guys or anything like that. It was just a different thing. I mean, my parents, even, they have a different voice when they talk to the priest. You know, we used to call her Dr. Bartlett voice. She talked to Dr. Bartlett, she talked a certain way. If she talked to the priest, she talked a certain way, you know, and which is reverence.
Sure.
And
that's
appropriate. But because the priests are more approachable, maybe it's easier for kids or adults to confess these days because, you know, in the old days, you'd get a rosary.
Yeah.
For penance.
Yeah. You know, I've had some people that are, it's kind of funny, I think, because you're the new priest, I've had some people come in and say, like, I just wanted to check out the new priest, you know, and it's like, okay, well, that's good, you know, but they're also interested in just, at the same time, I think people really, I don't know, maybe this is just St. Charles, but I'd like to think it's not, but people just really love their priests. They just really, they want to get to know them and they want their priests to be a part of their life, whether it is just even at church or if it's like, hey, come on over and, you know, bless our house or come to this party, whatever, you know, and it's just, it's always a real great privilege to be a part of people's lives. And I pray all the time that I never take that for granted, you know, and just always treasure that.
So. Fewer hours, fewer priests. You know, they used to have people come over. You got a new car, the priest would come over and bless the car. But,
yeah.
But there's just not enough hours in the day for
sure.
Guys these days. It's tough.
It's true. That is tough. Yeah, that is tough. But nonetheless, it gives me joy. It gives me reason to be joyful every day. I mean, just to know that I don't know what's to come today. You know, I don't know what's on the schedule with God today, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's always a great motivation, if you will, even for this vocation. So.
Yeah. I'm so very impressed with the younger guys coming out of the seminary and their abilities to give a homily and their approachability too, but
sure.
You certainly fit that bill, Father.
Oh, thanks.
Father Josh Korek from St. Charles in Parma, his first assignment.
Yep.
And we were glad to have you. Thanks so much, Father.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. I'm Paul Orlowski, and the name of the show, God Calling. What's God calling you to do? We're going to be exploring married life, retired life for me now, the single life, you name it. We're going to talk about it in this program every week at this time. So I hope you'll join us.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.